How good was week one of high school football here in Las Vegas? Consider this. Each of the top five teams in our poll were trailing at one point, which may not sound like a lot, but that is crazy for high school football, especially in Las Vegas. Of course, those games wound up very differently. The two local teams that were playing each other in two different games turned out to be instant classics, great games that kind of proved their rankings, win or lose. And Bishop Gorman turned the tables and just smacked down one of their toughest national opponents. Yet, we're going to get to all that today on Prep Sports Now. I'm Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer. And as always, we are presented to you by Wingstop, the wing experts. Open at 8 Vegas locations until midnight. Wingstop, what's your flavor?
Mild.
We're going to answer that every week. It's a new saying, so I'm throwing it in there. I like a little bit hotter. Speaking of hot, Brewer, you were probably hot and humid down in Texas, correct? How was your trip to see the Bishop Gorman Gales smack around Cedar Hill?
Well, Texas football is as good as advertised. Driving up to
except for the product on the field.
Yeah. Boop, boop. Driving up to Longhorn Stadium, there's big, huge banners throughout the streets. The cops had roads closed. You go into the stadium, and it's like a college stadium. You know, the pillars that hold everything together have pictures of the team's legends. There's a certain buzz going around. There's concession stands. It's the real deal, man. Texas football totally delivered on the atmosphere and the hype, and they had country music blaring on the speakers saying how proud they were to be from Texas.
They deserved to lose for that.
People got Texas flags when they walked in. I bet they didn't know that Gorman also has country on its playlist. But cool, man. Very cool. Just totally enjoyed myself. Bucket list type of thing for somebody who's been in my job as long as I've been. And, you know, Gorman put on a show. Cedar Hill got a lot of cheap shots in, and Gorman did a good job of just answering back. I think I said last week that Gorman can line up in the power eye and beat anybody, and they just warm out. And when you consider how humid it was, like, bro, 90 in Texas with humidity versus a buck 10 in Vegas with dry heat. Give me the buck 10 every day.
Oh, I've said that for years. I've told people that. Totally agree, and there is a difference no matter what. But back to the football. First of all, I want to ask you, what do you mean by cheap shots? Like they're hitting them after the play?
Yeah, after the play. Or like if you see on Twitter, they've got some highlights of it. But like Tate Martell tackled out of bounds and then hit, you know, kind of hit in the kidneys. Haskell Garrett hit from behind. Ollie Walsh's ankle pulled in the huddle. Or in the tackle thing.
Oof. As our colleague, my brother, Clay Kiefer, often says, sucks to suck.
Sucks to suck.
Cedar Hill loses 44-14, and I know I'm like sound like I'm getting some happiness out of this. I like to see Nevada. I did want to see the Vegas team win, despite the fact that I picked against Bishop Gorman, which was ridiculous. Every time I pick against them, it seems like they do something like this. I also wanted to get to your point about, you know, running at people out of the power eye. It's unbelievable because the kid was the player of the year last year. He's got all these recruiting overtures and everything. But I feel like Biagi Ollie Walsh might still be a little bit underrated. I mean, there's just so many great players on this team that it feels like he might not be one of the first few names you throw out there. But I think he might be their MVP. I mean, the guy's so important to what they do and obviously just was huge in this game.
He actually took a beating, too. A few times he got hit on the option where Martell kept the ball and he got drilled as it was. So he rushed for nearly 200 yards, and they were really hard-fought yards. But I think game turned there. Gorman was up, clinging to a lead. Cedar Hill had all the momentum. And then Ollie Walsh broke free for a 77-yard touchdown, one of those where he wasn't touched, kind of like what he did to Liberty in the state game last year. And then I think Cedar Hill was like, wow, we're not going to be able to stop this run. And then Martell had like 150 yards rushing alone in the second half. Gorman wasn't doing a good job throwing the ball, but they were able to get a lot of penetration with the run, have three of five new starters on the offensive line. but they just basically pushed Cedar Hill around. And that was the number one ranked team in Texas.
Yeah, it's not like this was just any Texas program. Also, you said Gorman had trouble throwing the ball, and Gorman really shut down their passing game too, right? Didn't they have two or three interceptions, won the turnover battle that way?
Yeah, Bubba Bolden had a really great interception where he kind of leaped up and caught it. And, you know, Gorman's defense, they gave up two touchdowns, 71-yard fake punt, and a throw into the corner of the end zone where they came back onto the field after a special teams miscue where they touched the ball, which some people debate that they didn't. So, you know, really kind of two fluky touchdowns. So the defense was as good as advertised. Haskell Garrett, the Ohio State commit's great. Even better is the junior number 10, whatever it is. He was as good as advertised. Long arms, quick. You could see why he's one of the top defensive guys for 2018. Another player who I thought was really good was Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the quarterback. He played wide receiver. He played a little defense. He returned some kicks. He did a little bit of everything. Well put together. Probably had Gorman's best hit of the night on a block. And I thought really changed kind of the complexity of the game. But Bishop Gorman, 40 in a row, back-to-back national champions. They're at home Friday night against Cocoa, Florida.
I think if you're Arborview or Liberty or these other schools, I think you're feeling a little bit better about yourself when the number six team in the country can't stay within 30 points of Bishop Gorman, the number one team in Texas. Shows there's really nothing to hang your head about from all these years of getting beat down by them.
Yeah, and you know, Arborview, by comparison, only lost by 18 last year.
Exactly, and I have to say, I was at, well, we'll get to the Arborview game next. I want to talk about Arborview Liberty, but really quickly, we'll make our picks, but the Cocoa game, could this be kind of a dangerous spot for Gorman all offseason? They've been talking about the Texas school, going to Texas, making them throw down those Texas flags in disgust. They did it. Now they have a tricky contest against one of the best schools in Florida, which, let me tell you, Florida high school football is no joke either, and Cocoa coming in here, highly ranked. Is this could this spell a little bit of trouble for Gorman?
I mean, it has to. You have to consider they had a two-hour flight on Sunday. They, you know, short week to get prepared for the for new opponent, and you got to be feeling pretty darn good about yourself as well. So there's always a chance where they're going to come out and not be at their best. But you know, for as cool as last week was, you need to follow up with another victory.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to recreate that 30-point margin, but I think Gorman would have to be the favorite here. Now to the next two schools I mentioned, the kind of perennial runners-up to Gorman, Arborview and Liberty. We've been begging for it for years, ever since they played the last time at Liberty. Opened Arborview at Liberty again this year, and the game really lived up to the hype.
Must be nice.
That's true. Well, at least you got that great environment you were talking about.
Got the humidity.
In Texas, yeah. So Liberty holds on to beat Arborview 27-23 in a game that was back and forth. Both teams looked very good. Arborview seems to score the game-winning touchdown at the end, but a false start is called. That probably should have been stopped before the play, although it wasn't. So Liberty retains that number two spot. I don't think there's anything to hang your head about for Arborview in this game, though. Being there, I was very impressed with how Arborview played. I got to tell you, I think this is going to be one of their best teams, which I don't know for sure if we would have said that going into the year, but this defense is just nasty. They have a really good defense. We know how good Liberty is supposed to be on offense, and they did put up a lot of yards, but holding them to 27 points was, I thought, pretty good effort. And Arborview, just all around the field on defense, they got guys flying around, making plays. I think it's going to be really hard to score on this team.
Yeah, Mike Sims had the pick six. They limited Oblad ended up with some nice yardage and touchdown, but his completion rate was awful. I think he was 9 of 24, give or take.
I thought it was like 9 of 30, okay. Even worse than that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they – and one of the assistants was telling me, because I think we said last week they got Mike Sims, but who else do they got? They had some kids in the secondary that were breaking up passes, making great plays. They got one kid that transferred from Cimarron, who I mentioned in the picks, who's now – name I don't have in front of me, Isaiah Heron, I think, according to their roster. I mean, he looked just as good as Sims at times. Their big problem was they gave up just some big plays, and I guess that happens against Ethan Dudeau. He had 2 touchdowns, I think, of more than 40 yards.
One catch that was pretty sick.
Yeah. And the Liberty's tight end, who tore his ACL before last year, had one huge play. I think it was 3rd and 12, and he gained like 40 yards. So our review's big thing is if they limit those big plays, they probably win this game. And maybe that's something they have to look going forward. They can't give up those big gains, but other than that, they're going to be just fine.
And I think big picture that, you know, Liberty and Arbor have been able to build their programs in kind of Gorman shadows, to where, you know, like Arbor, for example, just debuted a second helmet, a gray helmet that's pretty sick. You know, they're playing a team from Utah this week. Liberty's going to Texas this week, you know, right on the hills of Gorman going to Texas. And there's a lot of pressure in that game because Austin Westlake, who Liberty's playing, is now the number one ranked team in Texas. They're 6th in the nation. Liberty 5th, I think, in the mountain region. And so you've heard how great Vegas football is, and everybody cheered for Gorman, right? Well, now Liberty's going to go on the hills of that and follow that up. What if they lose by 60?
Yeah, I mean, it's –
are you going to say Vegas football sucks because here's our second best team and they just got trained?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation, but I don't think we're going to be gloating like I was at the beginning of this podcast about Gorman if that ends up happening.
I mean, we want them to keep it respectable, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you
and
want them to
put
out their
best effort.
And they kept
it respectable against Gorman. I mean, you could argue that Liberty played Gorman tougher than Cedar Hill, right? In the scrimmage, Liberty was better in the scrimmage than
– True, it was just a scrimmage, though. Here's what I'll say, and I think that Liberty – I don't have any problem saying this. I think the people at Liberty will agree with me, is they're going to have to play a lot better than they did against Arborview to prevent getting blown out. If they play like they did against Arborview, I think they had 2 interceptions, 3 turnovers, were pretty careless, had, I think, 3 personal
fouls. Typical Liberty.
Yeah, they had about as many personal fouls as they did plays at the beginning of the game. If they play like they did against Arborview, we're going to be talking about this next Monday, next Tuesday. Yeah, no, Powell just didn't have any catches. I think that Heron kid had a couple of really nice breakups against him. They tried to get him the ball a few times. I mean, the passing offense, at the end of last year when I went to see Liberty, I was like, man, this team's going to be so great. Next year they're going to be slinging it all around. It looked so, you know, in tip-top
Acquito,
form.
Dudeau,
yeah, and they really couldn't throw the ball that well. I mean, I know, like I said, like we said, they got a lot of yards, but like I said, it was all big plays. They didn't have that rhythm that they kind of had at the end of last year, and they're going to need to get it pretty quick for Westlake.
Westlake, and they got Centennial Corona Desert Pines on the horizon, and I think Arborview was a great first week test for Liberty. Its scheduling is commendable. I think that, you know, their game plan of trying to play the best to get ready to challenge Bishop Gorman, so when they face them in a state championship game, that this is, you know, not nothing new facing a team with great players. How did the Liberty running game look?
I think Arborview, for the most part, did a pretty good job. They broke out, like I guess this is the theme, I think they broke a couple long runs, but other than that, Arborview pretty much bottled them up. I mean, you know about the Arborview defensive line by now with Greg Rogers, who was, as usual, as good as advertised. They had another kid right next to him, I think.
Elijah Wade, probably. I had to guess. Maybe not.
I thought it was another 50 because I kept thinking it was Rogers when he made plays. I think it was 58, which would be Charles Escudero.
Okay.
Escuardo, maybe. Okay. I could be wrong, though. All I know is that they were good up front, and they really did kind of hold Liberty in check. Once Liberty's passing game wasn't working for a couple possessions in the first half, they went to just, like, line it up in the power eye and try to run at them, and Arborview got a couple 3 and outs in a row. So it wasn't great, but I think a lot of it had to do with Arborview.
Yeah, neither team really had success throwing the ball. I think Bollinger was 6 of 18, give or take.
Yeah, Bollinger struggled, too. Man, I feel like if he gets it together, it's our review has a really high. I mean, the sky is. I don't know what I'm trying to say here. They have a lot of potential if he can throw the ball because he looks so good back there. You can tell he's got a great arm, and I mean he's built like a quarterback. It's just he didn't really have it down on against Liberty, but I think that all the talent is there, and it's probably going to happen.
Great game, great finish, great week one. Granger was at the Centennial Desert Pines game. 44-41 DP. However, toward the end of the game, Markel Grayson, the quarterback committed to UNLV, who had thrown for 3 touchdowns already, tore his ACL. He's done for the year. Does that change, Case, your opinion of the 3A? Is Desert Pine still the favorite? Randall Grimes, who played quarterback at Vista as a sophomore, is a wide receiver. He's committed to USC. He didn't have any catches, and he was pretty pissed off about it. He now is the quarterback. Theoretically, you hand the ball off to Morris, and Morris does the rest with Patazzi and the other kid going to Arizona, whose last name I can't pronounce, up front. But is there another team that beats them? The Northern region's pretty balanced this year. Fallon had a pretty good opening week. Sunrise Mountain looked good against Boulder City, but everybody looks good against Boulder City. Is Desert Pine still the favorite?
Well, first of all, our thoughts go with Markel Grayson, one of our favorite players in town for the last 3 years.
Nicest kid in the world, and nobody will say different.
Yeah, so really disappointed to see him go down. And certainly it's a big loss to Desert Pines. They're probably not going to be as efficient as they would have been with him. All that being said, I still think that Desert Pines would be far and away your pick to win the state championship. And I think it might even be clearer after last week, just because I was trying to make the case, trying to come up with someone that could challenge them, and I came up with Moapa. And we saw what happened to Moapa last week. They lost their first game to Sierra Vista, a team they beat up on pretty bad twice last year. So I think that Desert Pines still has to be the favorite. I know there's a lot of excitement around Sunrise Mountain right now, and they justified it no matter who they're playing in the first week, but I'm going to need to see a lot more than that to even be able to mention them in the same breath with Desert Pines.
Your heart just goes out to that program. You know, it goes back to the sophomore year where they gave up the lead against Moapa, right? And then last year they were good, and they had the ineligibility thing, which was an honest mistake. And then this year, the Grayson kid has been the heart and soul of their team. You know, their leader goes down. And, God, they've had a lot of ACLs over there, man. You know,
yeah.
With Sam Patazzi and Anthony Smith and now Markel. You know, I know that those kids have had some heartbreak and they've dealt with it before and they keep coming back. So it's going to be interesting. In the loss, the Jamal Evans kid went off, though.
Yeah, I knew. I knew he's in for a big year, and Centennial's offense is going to reap the benefits of him his senior year.
But you return two starters, you give up 41 points.
Yeah, the defense is going to be a work in progress, and I think we're used to seeing Centennial defense is pretty good right away.
Yeah, and we talk about Desert Pines. I mean, the Grayson injury aside, you can't give up 41 points if you're going to win a state championship. Now, I know you were going against two really good guys, but
I mean, Centennial would be the number two in the Division 1A right now. So I'm not too concerned about that.
Okay.
I'd be way more concerned if their whole schedule was upper division teams. But they still have some tough games coming up. I know they got Liberty.
Yeah,
I think you're going to have to play better defensively against Liberty.
I was so looking forward to that Liberty game.
Now you're not? Changes? I mean,
hell yeah, it changes. You're taking a three-year starter at quarterback out. And you're moving a wide receiver who could spread the field.
Okay, well, changes wasn't the right word, but I don't think it should really affect that much of your excitement about it. Yeah, I don't think it should be like now it's just another game.
I mean, literally, I went back and forth all summer. You know I got nothing to do. I'm married, right? All summer freaking trying to figure out who I liked in this game. Every day I was convincing myself, like say I would go over and talk to Morocco. I was like, oh, my God, Liberty's going to kill him. Then I'd go over to DP and I'd be like, oh, my God, there's no way that Liberty could catch up with DP. And now all of a sudden, Liberty's got to be a double-digit favorite.
Well, I kind of maintained that Liberty would be a double-digit favorite all along.
No way.
Yes, I did. Don't tell me I didn't. Every time you'd come in, I'd be like, Desert Pines
going to
beat
them. I'm not saying you didn't say that. I'm saying there's no way that they would have been. I mean, that's, to me, a coin flip game.
Yeah, I never saw it as a coin flip game. And I guess it does change because now, even more so, I don't see it as a coin flip game. But that's still a couple weeks away.
It is. I went to go ahead.
Desert Pines has the week off this week?
No, they're at Rancho. I sent you that picture.
Oh, right. Yeah, so, okay, basically a week off. Go ahead.
Arguably.
Next anecdote.
Okay, I was at the Faith game. They lost to a team from Texas whose quarterback put up 500 yards, and the kid's a sophomore, and he's going to, like, Florida State. However, I was impressed with the offense of Faith Lutheran. Christian Marshall's the real deal, man. He runs that offense well. Their tailback is quick and shifty. Well,
who said they would be okay with Christian Marshall at quarterback just a week ago?
100% wrong on that. He even throws a real nice ball, likes contact, got banged up a little bit. Elijah Cody, the wide receiver, junior, he's like 6'4", 6'5", real big. He's probably, and please correct me if I'm wrong, people, he's probably the best wide receiver for 2018 in Las Vegas. Really impressed with him. A big, physical, understands the game. He'll be a D1 kid. Super. I mean, I went away. It's like, oh my God, who's this? I think he's number four. I was like, who's number four? Threw to him right away, and he caught it, and he blocks downfield. I'm like, okay, this kid could play. But with faith, they had the lightning delay.
So I had one of those too.
Oh yeah, for 20 years, I finally got a lightning delay on the one day I don't need it. Spend like an hour in the gym watching a cheerleading presentation.
I was thinking about every mishap I've ever had that has to do with high school football has come at games at Liberty. Yeah. One time they had the lights go out and the arbor views bust didn't come in time. Another time a lightning delay. And then the only time I've ever done it once I drove to the wrong site when they were playing Foothill.
Yeah.
I think those are my only three mishaps ever. They're all at Liberty.
Yeah, well, that's. But, yeah, Faith just ran out of guys defensively. And but if I had to do the top 10 all over again, I'd put them in for Shadow.
I'm glad you say that, even after a 21-point loss or whatever it was. It might have even been worse than that.
Well, they're not going to play a quarterback who's 6'5 and throws BBs across the field. It was like 4th and 12 from midfield, and I'm like, okay, Faith is down 7-3. They're going to get out of this, and they're going to get the rock, and here comes Christian Marshall, who's great. I'm like, hell of a pick for All-City, Ray Brewer. You're the man, right? And then this quarterback throws a 50-yard bullet, perfect pass. And everybody in the stadium's like, oh, wow, that's Texas high school football. I mean, that was like a BB. This sophomore, BB. Perfect timing, no doubt about it. Signed, sealed, and delivered.
Well, there you go. I'm glad. I guess you can scratch that off the list of things we're going to argue about on this podcast all year. Because I was hoping to be in the Faith Lutheran corner. Now it sounds like you're coming around after after this loss.
Did we talk about our Wingstop Player of the Week?
That was actually the next thing I was going to do.
Just
looked up the guy's stats so I could get it exactly right. Our Wingstop Player of the Week is going to get a $50 Wingstop gift card, a plaque, a t-shirt, some merch, a good deal all together. Stephen Wright of Sunrise Mountain, the aforementioned Sunrise Mountain, 354 yards, 4 touchdown passes, 19 for 24 passing against Boulder City. In a 39-6 victory. So congratulations to Stephen Wright. We'll see if he can keep Sunrise Mountain as a team to watch in the D1A all year. And to coaches and listeners, if you're out at a game, please let us know. Give us some nominations. We're going to try to, if you nominate a guy and we go with someone else, we'll try to monitor them for the rest of the year and see if they have another big game where it's worth giving. But please keep sending them in. It's a really good deal for the kids, a good way to get recognized. Stephen Wright, this week's winner.
Congrats.
I know you, one thing you probably have been right on is you were hyping up Sunrise Mountain all off season. So
well,
far, so good.
I mean, again, consider the opponent. Boulder City may be one of the weaker teams in town, still developing. So let's see how they do. Virgin Valley will be a slight step up this week in competition.
That's right. All right. Well, anything else?
You don't mention the franchise, bro?
The what?
Come on. You give my quarterback no respect.
I'm so confused.
The sophomore from Green Valley.
Oh, there you go.
How many touchdowns did he
throw?
We'll
see who's giving him no respect here in a second. Tell me how many touchdowns.
3.
There you go.
Huh?
All right.
Good completion rate, if you check.
Remember when you said just the last game to consider the competition? I don't know if Desert Oasis is exactly a top 10 team this year.
Well,
they only beat them by 13. You tell me they're going to beat everyone in the Southeast by 21 points. This is not a good start.
Well, they were up 21-0, and they wanted to get the game over with because of the lightning. They didn't want to go through the delay, so they just kind of went quickly through some things. They're going to be just fine. Kid's first varsity game. He'll be ready for when Basic and everybody else comes into town.
Yeah, I mean, I should clarify, I like Green Valley. I think they're going to be very good. I just think that Brewers' love is a little bit overboard with them. I think they're going to be in some tight games in the Southeast. And I didn't necessarily see anything in this Desert Oasis game that convinced me otherwise, even though...
Player's going to play.
The defense played very well, clearly, and I know that was one of your selling points. And, I mean, they got a lot of guys back on that end, and at times last year they gave up a lot of points. Maybe not as much this year.
Depending if the opponent wasn't a factor. This will be a huge test. They go to...
I think we had a whole podcast on this debate last year. I defended their defense. And you were telling me they were bad.
Yeah, well,
this year they're going to be good.
Yeah, they go to Centennial Thursday, the TV game. We'll see what happens.
For sure. All right, well, do we want to start with the picks? Or who are the other franchises we need to talk about?
That's it.
It's too bad we can't even mention the kid's name.
We can't pronounce it.
Kalijah Wiley?
Stud.
Someone at Green Valley, hit us up. Tell us how to pronounce his name. I promise I'll get it right next week. I'm not making any promises for Brewers. He wouldn't want me to do that.
As long as he knows how to sign a scholarship paper, he'll be fine.
All right. With that being said, Green Valley goes to Centennial this week. Very surprised to see Brewers pick Mr. Green Valley. I'm going to say this. We just talked about defenses. I think Centennial's has a long way to go. They lost a lot of guys. Still, I think they'll get there by the end of the year, but still building towards that. They came off this grueling game. 44-41 loss to Desert Pines. I feel like Green Valley is going to be able to get more stops. And you might have sold me a little bit on the offense. I'm going Green Valley here to travel up to Centennial and eke out a close win.
I don't disagree with you. In fact, I think on the picks I said closer than you think. I really like Green Valley this year. The defense is strong. The quarterback is good, but I just think that they're going to be outclassed a little bit by Centennial's offense. I don't know if they have an answer for Scarver's speed, and I think Evans is one of those guys who may just take over. We'll see what happens, but I'm going Centennial on a nail-biter.
Yeah, Evans does really scare me. If you go to the Ray Brewer best player on the field theorem, I think that Centennial would be the pick because I think that I think Jamal Evans is going to be at a different level this whole year.
How'd that work on that Valley Durango game last week?
Not so well.
My guy touched the ball maybe three times, and they lost 40-0.
Well, there you go. I don't think this is going to be 40-0, but we're going to be lining up on opposite sides. I'm going Green Valley. Brewers going Centennial. Out-of-state games, got a few of them coming up next. A bunch of them, actually. Orem traveling to Arborview. One other thing I want to say about Arborview from last week is it seems like every year Arborview loses a couple running backs and you're not sure what they're going to do, and they always have guys coming up. I know Diego Stubbs was good last year, but he was great in this game. But even more impressive maybe was Dakari Gunn, a kid I wasn't too familiar with. He was great running the ball. I think from being on their sideline a little bit, he might have been struggling some with the blocking because there seemed to be some frustration with some of the coaches there. But that's something that'll come along, and you cannot deny this kid's talent. So that Gun, Stubbs, 1-2 punch, I think it's going to be something to look out for. Arborview's backfield's as good as ever, and I think they're going to beat Orem to get to 1-1 on the year.
I agree that they're going to beat Orem as well. I like how the game is at Arborview. They get a great crowd there. Listen, Arborview's a great team.
Very good. I think that that will show as the year plays out. Next game, we already did a little bit of previewing, but Liberty going to Westlake.
Yeah, Westlake's quarterback had some surgery, but this is a large school classification team in Texas, so I'm sure they've got another quarterback ready to step in. Listen, Liberty has built itself into a program that's just not just Nevada good, but is regionally good. And by playing teams like this, Centennial, Corona, next, later in the season, I think it sets Liberty up to accomplish some of its goals. I just don't see the Patriots going into Texas and winning or covering, but I think it'll mirror kind of the game in Hawaii last year where they were able to put some points up, but they lost 49-20 or something.
Well, covering, I'd have to see what the number is first. The Hawaii game, the thing about it is, though, they came back the next week and beat what was supposedly the better Hawaii team at home. They played pretty poorly in the game at Hawaii. I would say even though they beat Arborview, they didn't exactly play great last week. So you could see them improving this week. I just have a tough time seeing them win this game going down to Austin. I think you should have gone to this game. I'd be more down for a trip to Austin than Dallas, by the way.
Yeah.
But I guess that ship has sailed. Ethan Dudeau... I feel like you got to get that guy the ball as much as possible in these big time games. And I think that's what they did against the second Hawaii school last year. I think he had a huge game.
He did. He real breakout.
The kid is so fast and so talented. If I'm Liberty, I'm just like, how are we going to get this guy the ball as much as possible to keep it close? Which I think they're going to do. I think they'll keep it relatively close. But I just think it would be foolish to go against the top team in Texas now that Cedar Hill fell.
I agree.
All right, so we're both on Westlake.
But we're rooting for Liberty, though.
Chaparrals, who have a very, I think, good-looking logo, but I'm trying to figure out what it is.
I like
Chaparral.
Nickname.
I thought a chaparral is a cowboy?
I believe it is.
I thought a chaparral was like some kind of plant. But anyways, their photo is like a chicken. Wow. So someone, someone explain this to me. I don't know. Moving on, Desert Hills at Foothill. Foothill, very impressive in their first game. Totally shut down Cheyenne. Went off for a ridiculous stat sheet game.
They're in the Brewer top 10.
Do they have a chance to beat an out-of-state opponent?
I don't know who Desert Hills has, but I know what they did to Foothill last year. And you don't beat a team by 50 in year one and lose in year two. So I took Desert Hills. Is it Wilson?
Wilson.
Not brothers.
Jordan Wilson and Blake Wilson.
No relation.
Yeah.
Went off OFF.
They did, and even more impressive to me was just their defense. If you look at some of the numbers, I mean, Cheyenne did nothing on offense. I know maybe this is a down year for Cheyenne, but, you know, usually they're able to move the ball a little bit. I think that Foothill is going to be able to slow Desert Hills a little bit more than last year, but it's tough to pick them to win, so I'm excited with Desert
Hills.
We had some really,
awful offensive teams last week. Valley, Bagel, Coronado, Double Bagel, Cheyenne.
Maybe we should have talked about that Coronado Canyon Springs. I guess we'll wait till we get to them in the picks. But
Mojave, Bagel.
A lot of shutouts. Great defense or bad offense?
I don't know. If you look at like Cheyenne, Mojave, and Canyon, they're located within 5 miles of each other. They combine for how many points?
Zero. Yeah. Can we get some offensive kids in that region? Okay, next game, a California school coming to town, John Muir from Pasadena, going to Desert Oasis, who only lost 21-8 to Green Valley. What do you think?
I don't care who's coming from California to play Desert Oasis. I'm taking them.
I got Desert Oasis in this game.
Do you?
Yeah. I think that's flawed thinking. Just see California and you say they're going to win. Last year we had Bonanza beat a school from California.
Yeah, but a small town school, not a Yucca Valley. Okay, not Pasadena.
I did very preliminary research on John Muir and was not all that convinced. I don't think they're that great of a team. And I think Desert Oasis, I mean, that was a respectable showing against Green Valley.
No, it was really
calling you out, notwithstanding, since I just had to give you some barbs on Green Valley. But I think maybe Desert Oasis could be a little bit better than we think this year. And if John Muir is not anything special, maybe this is a close game.
Maybe. I just went with a theory, Case. It's not the Bible. It's a theory.
Okay. Desert Oasis for me. Might get myself in trouble, but what can you do? Cocoa, Florida versus Bishop Gorman. Another colleague, Ray. Dave Mott's alma mater, Cocoa. Where in Florida is this from? Is this actually like Cocoa Beach?
I have no idea. Maybe.
I'm going to find that out.
You're more familiar with Florida than me.
Okay.
I have a hard time picking against Gorman after being there and seeing what they did. Especially since there was kind of two stages at the game where I thought Cedar Hill could have pulled away. In the first half, when they faced the adversity with the muff punt, and then in the second half when Cedar Hill rallied. So the fact that Gorman was able to pull away and out and wear those guys out, I think that they thrived this week, and I think they get the W.
Yeah, I mean, Coco... My also preliminary research looked very good. Looked like they have some real threats on that team. But I think after what Bishop Gorman did last week, it would just be wrong to pick against them. I do think this is going to be closer. I don't think there's any way they're going to run away by 30 again. But Gorman has a tendency to do what I say they're not going to do. Who knows? I think they win this game. Coco is from Coco, around Cocoa Beach, Florida. Who knew Dave Mott and I had such a... close connections, but all that aside, I don't see how you pick against Gorman right now.
You can't. I mean, this class, you can't pick against them until they lose, even though next week when they go to St. John Bosco.
It's another tough one, but I mean, the senior class is already so ridiculous. We talked about how great it is. And then now you're throwing out kids in the underclassmen that have, you know, maybe MVPs of the first game. So I just think there's no slowing the Gales right now. We've both got the Gales. Next game is Boulder City at Lake Mead Christian Academy. Interesting game to see on the schedule, considering I did not know the home team existed.
Yeah, Lake Mead's first year of restarting its football program. Boulder City, a team that didn't look too sharp last week. You got to take the Eagles just because they've been playing longer.
Yeah, I got to agree. Boulder City, too. Next game, the annual letdown, it seems like, for Moapa Valley playing Hurricane. I think Hurricane is going to get another win over the Pirates.
I think Hurricane will get a win over the Pirates as well.
Okay, Shadow Ridge, El Dorado. You love Shadow Ridge, even though now you're thinking maybe they shouldn't have been a top 10 team. I think they're going to be 1-0, though. El Dorado didn't put up much of a fight in their first game at Pahrump.
Traveling to Pahrump got them. I think if that game's...
Well, they don't have to travel. They don't have to travel this week.
I still think Shadow comes out and makes a statement.
All right, I got Shadow, too. Legacy didn't have to play week one. They've got Mojave, who didn't score week one. I've got Legacy.
I got it. If you can't score in one game, you're not going to win another.
There you go. One of the first things I remember, new Canyon Springs coach, Gus, now I can't remember his last name. Help me out.
Canyon Springs. Oh, McNair.
McNair.
I'm sorry.
Okay. My bad. Gus McNair. One of the first things I remember him saying at our high school football media day was that he wants to bring the defense back. They're going to be a great defense like Canyon Springs of old. And through 1 week, that's pretty believable because they shut out Coronado, only a 6-0 victory, so it's not like they exploded on offense. But maybe this is going to be like a few years ago where Canyon just had a great defense and shut people down every game. They've got Cheyenne this week. That was just one of the most surprising scores to me of all last week, 6-0 Canyon over Coronado. We were both on Coronado. So shout out to the Canyon Springs defense. Do you think they can be this good all year? And who you got in this game? I've got Canyon Springs.
I have Canyon as well. To me, Cheyenne is a similar opponent to Coronado. Obviously, Cheyenne struggled to score. The schools are very close, so there's kind of a built-in rivalry. Some of the kids know each other. But I think we'll find out more about Canyon. They may have one of the easiest schedules in all of football.
We pretty much wrote this division off as Las Vegas's and Las Vegas's own. Can Canyon Springs convince you that they have a chance against Vegas? I mean, that's a pretty good rivalry going back a few years. Could that be Vegas's main competition there?
I would have to think so. I know some people that think Canyon's much better than Vegas.
There you go. That's what I got an answer to my question, I guess. And I know they're not playing this week, but did... While we're on these division topics, I think last week we said there's just about any finish in the Southeast that wouldn't surprise us. Is 1 week too early to say now that Coronado is the clear six? I mean, you don't put up a point in week one. That's going to be tough playing in the best division.
Totally agree.
Okay.
And I think, to me, Silverado is the five. I'm sorry, I don't see them doing much.
They got a shutout of their own this week.
Again, consider the opponent.
All right. Brewer sticking to his guns. Speaking of the Southeast, Basic hosts Brewer's alma mater, Chaparral.
Basic with an opening night victory, 55-point effort. They had a few kids that went off with some good games. And I think the Wolves are going to beat my Cowboys, but I will say that Chaparral... Did you have Bonanza last week, CK?
I did not. I had Chap.
You had Chap?
Yes, we both had Chap.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Frank Harris had two kickoff returns for a touchdown, so I'm sure Shapp will kick it to him to start the game.
Are you going to be there in your orange shirt?
Yeah, and then Basic's defense wasn't great by any stretch of the imagination, but Jacob Fulton had a nice interception to seal the victory. McAllister threw for five touchdowns. Patrick Liston had two touchdowns. I think between Liston and Harris – the Wolves have two good players on the outside. And
did you mention Eagles?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
I think that kid was like one of their top receivers too.
Okay, and Eagles as well.
Yeah, Deshaun Eagles. There you go.
Three guys. The my Shop Cowboys, you know, they got the Pettit kid who I think is as quick as anybody in town. And other than that, let's hope they schedule well.
Yep. I've got Basic in this game as well. They said that this McAllister was going to be able to throw better than last year's McAllister in 1 week in the books against a tough opponent. That has played out so far, and they're going to be really tough to beat if they can throw the ball like this. I don't think that Green Valley is going to beat them by 21 in the Henderson Bowl.
We'll see.
I'm going to bring that up as much as possible. So I've got Basic. Brewers got Basic. Clark at Western. Clark opening their season. I've got the Chargers, and I don't have much analysis as to why, except for they're kind of just on the outskirts of the playoffs, and Western is they're in the rural areas of the playoffs.
Yeah, Western hasn't won since 2011. However, Roger Harrison, their tailback, had more than 200 against Del Sol, also played defensive end and was more than serviceable. And Gary Mackey even told me when we talked that, you know, Western, they were into the game. They had a good game plan. They just they couldn't get over the hump. So I think Western's improved. I just think Clark's probably a little better this year, and I think Clark wins.
2-1-0 teams next, Pahrump Valley and Del Sol. I think it could be a decent game. It is at Pahrump, though. We know Pahrump plays well at home. They've got two great running backs, Aaron Fuentes and Case Murphy.
None of which are better than Tariq Flowers, but I still think.
I wouldn't be stunned either way here, but I'm going with Pahrump. I think I was pretty impressed by what they did in week one. Virgin Valley at Sunrise Mountain. I think this could be a little bit of a test for Sunrise Mountain. We know what they did last week, but Virgin Valley, they feel improved. They feel like they have some things to raise their head up high this year. Do you give them any chance against Sunrise Mountain?
No, I just think Sunrise Mountain has quicker players, and that's going to spell disaster.
Okay, Sunrise Mountain for me too, but I think it'll be closer. Cimarron and Valley.
Well, God bless Valley. I'll take the Spartans.
Yeah, Cimarron has some talent, too. I mean, they got a couple good skill players.
Yeah, they got a running back who has got some offers, some lower offers, and I think they're just going to – this game will be over by 8-10.
All right, they'll give him the ball over and over. There you go. Faith Lutheran at Kaimuki from Hawaii.
Well, remember what happened last year when Liberty went down there?
Well, not that I want to hate on Liberty, but you know when you said, like, typical Liberty? Like, they make stupid mistakes and you can't do that against teams like this. Faith Lutheran, I feel like, probably, I mean, not as good of a program
dropped
as Liberty
the ball
right now.
A thousand times.
But Faith Lutheran probably isn't as known as for as much mistakes.
Probably not.
I think they're going to be a little sharper.
Well, they made a lot of mistakes last year in the playoffs, didn't they?
Yeah, that's true. But I also think Kaimuki isn't quite whoever Liberty was playing.
Care.
It's like the most storied program of the islands.
They could be going over there and be playing a seventh grade team. The fact that they're having to go over there is going to be tough. Give me the other team.
I think they would beat a seventh grade team, and I think they're going to beat Kaimuki. I'm in on Faith Lutheran. I think they got a good trial, a good test last week in St. Pius of Texas. I don't think this Hawaii team's going to be near as good as that. I think Faith Lutheran's ready. I think they're going to win this game.
All right. I can't do
in that. Hawaii.
I'll take the other team.
All right. Just remember who's picking on the local teams this week. Yeah. Hope you all remember that.
Yeah.
Maybe not born here, but I'm the one trying to hold up the Nevada flag right now.
Yeah.
All right. Rancho at Desert Pines. Rancho had a breakthrough year last year, played way better than they had in the past. Might be slipping back down this year. I mean, you got a feel for the program. They never have the numbers. It's an uphill battle over there, and it's probably going to be the same this week against DP.
Totally agree. I was at the Rancho DP game last year, actually.
Was it close?
No.
Okay. Well, Rancho was okay last year.
It still wasn't close.
All right. We've both got Desert Pines in this game, but we're different on some games this week. We'll see how they play out. That'll do it for week two of Prep Sports Now. Back again next Tuesday after Labor Day, so we'll rest up and we'll talk about more football. Thanks for listening.